Hey, everyone. Thanks for coming out. Has anyone never been to a stab show? Oh, people that are on it soon. Parker Newman, he'll be on it next week at the Comedy Spot.
Is that true?
Yes. He's booked.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're actually booked ahead of time?
I did.
I don't believe you.
Come on in. It's only $35 tickets. But we'll do buy one, get one. It's free. Pay to leave. Don't eat sandwiches at Togo's. Okay, I don't know where they're going.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
That's you.
In a show called...
Oh my God. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Welcome.
What?
Welcome to Stab. Thanks for coming out. Welcome to, I forget what number episode this is. We just talked about it. But I appreciate you coming. Are you guys ready to meet your contestants? Are you ready? Coming from over there onto the stage right now. Please welcome to the stage, Lendi West. Oh, and right behind her, running really fast. Oh, he tripped up onto the stage. Ellis Rodriguez. Oh, so excited to be here. Ellis Rodriguez. Still in the bathroom. Jesse Jones. You'll see him when he gets up here in a few minutes. Jesse Jones. Clap for him. All right. I'm your host, John Ross. Thanks for coming to Stab. Welcome, everybody. Let's meet our contestants really quick. First lady right here sitting closest to me. Her name's Lendi West.
Hi.
She does comedy. How about a hand for her?
Out really about right? Town.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Lendi West. You guys don't know if you knew this about Lendi. She is perpendicular. She is perpendicular. That's all you need to know. All right. How are you, Lendi?
I've been better.
Okay, good. Well, good. Good, good. Next to her, the gentleman in the middle, the one of two handsome gentlemen on stage, you be the judge of who's more handsome. Ellis Rodriguez. Let's hear it for Ellis Rodriguez.
Hey. It's good to be here. It's good to be handsome.
I believe Ellis Rodriguez is the only person in the world. The only person in the world. He's the only person. Just going to let you know. Ellis Rodriguez recently was on Comedy Central.
What?
Yeah, so let's hear it for that. He beat us all to it.
That's right.
He made us all jealous. That's what he did. He made us all jealous. He got on
You're welcome.
The Heart of the City with Kevin Hart. I think it's you could go on ComedyCentral.com and see it if you want. But he's kind of a big deal now. You guys should pay more. So, Ellis, do you have anything you want to plug, push, or?
When is this going to? About 24, 92 hours, something like that? Yeah.
We're posting it in about a month and a half. So if you know anything that you're doing in early 2017.
I'm just going to say that I'm going to be at Cobb's on the 18th and the San Jose Improv on the 21st. So that, because it's true.
All right.
And then well, later on when you hear it, you'll be like, that guy was really cool. He was at Cobb's on the 18th.
Well, I hope so. I hope that happens
yes.
for all of us. At the end, Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones.
He's on. Hey. Hi there.
He's on every show.
It's true enough.
And I don't know if you knew this about Jesse, but he's ready to party. Let's play Stab. Let's play it. I think our sound effects are low. All right. Well, this first segment's called This Was Today Once. Lendi West, on this date, 1954, Liz Hodges of Alabama was the first known woman to be struck by a meteorite. Also on this date, 1978, Clay Aiken, American singer, was birthed. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events?
Thanks for asking.
In tandem.
Is it a coincidence that Anne Elizabeth Hodges was hit by a meteorite in 1954 at the age of 24? while randomly sleeping on a couch in her house, and then 24 years later, American Idol contestant, questionable Homo sapien. Clay Aiken was born on that same day? We think not. I'm a member of the Believing Earth Citizens for Clay Aiken, or BECCA for short. We believe Clay Aiken fell from the sky in his most truest form, space dust, back on November 30th, 1954, and then reemerged as a person 24 years later in 1978. The primitive asteroid meteoroid, Clay Aiken, fell and was observed in its descent to Earth at 8:16 a.m. The meteoroid, Clay Aiken, was a grapefruit-sized fragment that crushed through the roof of Liz Hodges' home, bounced off of a wooden radio cabinet, and then struck the 24-year-old while she was napping on her couch. Witnesses said that it was a fireball accompanied by a tremendous explosion and a brown cloud, which are also the same words that Clay Aiken fans have used to describe his performances. My fellow BECCAs believe Clay Aiken is a living meteoroid among us. Coincidence that his name also means stiff, sticky, fine, refined soil? We think not. We support and encourage Clay Aiken to come out about his true self, a lifeless clump of compacted dirt that took life after striking a radio and a 24-year-old woman, and then later stole the hearts of America with his voice and even running for North Carolina Congress. He proves that you can literally go from dirt to stardom and eventually back to dirt again.
Very good. That was This Was Today Once for Lendy's portion. Ellis Rodriguez, on this date, 2005, the first human face transplant was performed in France. Also on this very date, back in 1938, Germany banned all Jews from being lawyers. Yeah, that's a bummer. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
French face transplants and a ban on German Jewish lawyers. Too easy. 2 days of my fucking life. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, children of all ages, Pilates instructors, esteemed guests, and John Ross. You know, I'm so thankful to have been invited here to do Stab tonight, you know? Because I spent my morning today, as I have every morning since November 8th, watching Django Unchained, followed by Sean T's Insanity videos as I prepare for the revolution. But I decided to skip my afternoon kung fu study of the five-point palm exploding heart technique and instead take a moment to celebrate body dysmorphia and anti-Semitism with the 10th annual Fuck the Jews and Fuck Your Face Los Angeles pub crawl. And I celebrated in the traditional way as Mel Gibson did when he began the holiday back in 2006. I took an early drunken drug-fueled brunch, then pitched a face-off relaunch called Black Face-Off, where Bill Cosby and Darren Sharper switch faces and then take turns on my girlfriend. Then I exercised my white privilege by disrespecting police in the streets and calling them all Jews. What are they gonna do, sue me? Then I bounced and told those German Jewish police lawyer fucks to kiss my caramel-colored butt cheeks. Auf Wiedersehen. And then
very and good. Yeah. Very good. Ellis Rodriguez. Very good. Just a disclaimer, Ellis could say all that because he's blackish and I'm a Russian Jew. So everyone relax. It's fine.
It's fine.
We're covered. Jesse Jones, your turn.
Yeah.
On this date, 1984, Olga Ripkova, a Kazakhstani triple jumper, was born. Also on this very date, 1991, Rob Pilatus, 27, of Milli Vanilli, attempted suicide. Triple jumper born, Milli Vanilli attempted suicide. How did you celebrate the aforementioned combined?
Well, seasonal affective disorder is a real thing, John. And as we've been plunged headlong into this chilly, dark depths of November, its icy grip is tightened around my throat and whispered into my trembling ear, do it, but do it weirdly. And so it was this prompt which inspired me this afternoon, with dark whimsy in my heart, to devise an elaborate, comical, Rube Goldbergian three-step suicide machine. I started by drawing a bath, filling it with botanical rose sea salt soak and relaxing lavender aromatherapy bath foam. This wasn't necessarily an integral part of the suicide machine. It was just nice, and I felt like I deserved it. At the edge of the tub, I set up a toaster. Sinking into the bath, I nudged a Little League participation trophy off the lip with my head, which landed on a mousetrap, startling a cat, causing it to run for the door. Step two was triggered by a string tied to the cat's tail, the other end attached to the trigger of a revolver, which fired directly past my face through a balloon filled with confetti, gently showering down upon me tiny pieces of colorful garbage filling the tub, while the bullet continued on, striking a metal fan blade. The impact sent the blade spinning, which blew the sail of a small boat in the tub with me. On the tip of the sailboat's mast was a match, which was blown under a striking strip. Finally, the boat hit the end of the tub with a match, where the match began burning through a strand of twine tied to a bowling ball, which once burned through, released a bowling ball, sending it rolling down a chute and knocking the toaster into the bathtub. Electrocuting me and finally releasing me from this sad mockery that I laughably call a life. Sadly, while my machine worked flawlessly, I'm here now to tell you all about it, because I just got so caught up in watching the majesty of it all that I forgot to push down the lever on the toaster. Again.
Very good. That was... This was Today Once. This show, still called Stab. Just... this next segment called Reorganization. Please have taken this existing acronym and reimagining it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? In light of Fidel Castro's death, which was predicted on Stab episode 95, if you go back, was predicted in our last show. Today's acronym is CUBA, C-U-B-A. Lindy, what does CUBA mean to you?
Much like the acronym YOLO, CUBA is now a popular, widespread use of Spanglish-speaking hipsters for its inspiration to appreciate the attention you receive from another, usually love interest, and to remain present with what you got and with a fun Spanish flair. CUBA, can't underestimate bueno affection. Example, girl one, ugh. Brad is so annoying. He's always talking to me and trying to hold my hand. Girl two. Girl, Brad is so good for you. CUBA.
Very good. Very good. Ellis, besides it being your home country, what does CUBA... That's in Panama, right? I'm kidding. Yeah. What does CUBA mean to you, Ellis? We've known each other a long time. It's fine.
This is after looking up. Hey, adopt me, man. Fuck. Okay. This is after I looked up a statistic. It said that there's actually only 18,000 people in Cuba, and 3,000 of them play baseball. America, welcome to completely urban baseball, America. It'd be nothing but like black-looking Latino people for the rest of time. Once we unleash CUBA. All right, never mind. This was the hardest thing that I wrote.
Well, you did. You knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
If I could. Ground rule double. Ground rule double. Ground rule. Hit the warning track bouncer. Okay, Jesse down there. What does CUBA mean to you?
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
I heard you like to burn stray cats with scented candles.
All right.
And you once slipped a 30-second clip of hardcore midget porn into a screening of All Dogs Go to Heaven at the Sacramento Zoo. Bam! I just hit you with a CUBA, John. Just some casual, unsubstantiated, baseless accusations. And yeah, it's probably not true, but that's not the point. The point is that you like to throw handfuls of bent nails all over the DMV parking lot. Zing! I did it again! Slipped you the old Cuba. It's just so easy, I hardly have to even try. Just like how you pick up guys outside the Home Depot and drop them off at random construction sites and then just drive away! Boom! Three up, three down, John! And that's how the Cuba works. I'm already on to the next one before you can even begin defending the last one. And did you know that Lendi West likes to shit in her neighbor's recycling bin? And Ellis once threw a baby down an elevator shaft. All casual, unsubstantiated, baseless accusations. But nowadays it doesn't matter. It's on the internet now. So it's up to you to disprove it. But you won't. You know why? Because John licks all the rolls in the bulk bins at Food Source. Lendi steals flowers left on infants' gravestones. And Ellis volunteers at suicide hotlines just to bully callers. That's why. Cuba, son. Cuba.
Very good. That was. reorganization, which brings us to our next topic. The topical haiku challenge. Are you guys ready? Okay, good. We're responding. This week, Dutch officials have killed 190 ducks on a central Netherlands, or 190,000 ducks. 190 is not many at all. Unless they're yours, then you're like, what? Who killed? Dutch officials have killed 190,000 ducks on the central Netherlands farm where inspectors have confirmed the presence of a highly infectious strain of bird flu. So yeah, haiku go. We'll do one at a time. Lindy West, what's your first haiku?
First haiku is quack, quack, cough, nay, nay, end duck, twed duck, no duck, see? Quack, quack, cough, nay, nay.
Is that Dutch?
Well done.
That was Dutch.
That was very,
Dutch.
Very good.
This haiku is called Dutch Oven. Taste light and dark meat. Leftovers for 2 more weeks. She gets it tonight.
Jesse.
Yeah. My first is titled A Daffy Plan. And just to be safe, they've also executed all men named Donald.
Lindy West, your second of three haiku.
Okay. That's a lot of ducks to make into pillows, man. When does the sale start?
It's called the bird flu. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, so you can fuck a duck medicine.
Jesse Jones, your second of three.
The second is titled In Other News. chickenpox outbreak at Dutch kindergartens, there were no survivors.
All right. Linda, your third of three.
This poem is going to be titled One Seven Consonant Word, Yes. All right. Do you care ducks die? Lumpin' proletariat. The flu got them birds.
Very good. Lumpin' proletariat. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's maybe the first time it's ever been done on this show. Yeah. Recognize Elvis.
This haiku is called Please Don't Be Black, Please Don't Be Black, Please Don't Be Black. Donald and Daisy seek justice for Mallard's gone. Fuck, it was Mickey.
Very good. Jesse Jones, please end this segment. Thank you.
Sure. My third is titled Clog Flogging. Dutch farms littered with 95,000 pairs of wooden murder shoes.
All right, that was the Topical Haiku Challenge. Yes.
One shoe per duck.
All right. There's the segment coming up called Pickup Lines. This is a new segment we've never done before, called Pickup Lines. Already a fan favorite. You guys are on fire as a crowd, collectively. You guys, please have written three pickup lines directed towards the following figures. Lindy West, please, let's hear your three pickup lines for the Mario Brothers.
You dirty plumbers want to lay some pipe in this princess's peach? Number two. Is that a Bowser in your pants or just a scaly turtle head that breathes fire? Oh, I see it gets bigger when excited. Third. I'm going to remind you of Yoshi, because I have a tongue that reaches great lengths, and I, too, like to lick various denizens of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Very good. It is hot in here. Hello. Ellis, please, let's hear your pickup lines to Slamson, the Sacramento Kings Lion mascot.
It's going to be good. I hate to be punny, but do you want to be my main squeeze? We could go back to my den, and you'd be my pride and joy.
Was that
I'm not
one?
Proud of it. It happened. Number two, and I'm not even sure I'm famous enough for this pickup line, but I just popped a Tic Tac. How about I grab you and take your furniture shopping? A thinker. Okay, number three. Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Ain't no passing craze. It means doggy style in Cambodian.
Very good, Ellis. Thank you very much. Slamson shall be yours.
Lucky me.
I originally wrote it as the Sacramento Kings entire roster, but I thought that was a little, we were, okay.
Thank you.
I don't know. Yeah, it was, so could have been worse, is what I'm saying. Jesse Jones, please have written three pickup lines directed towards a typewriter from the 1940s.
Yeah. Your dad must have been a chainsaw. Because every mistake I make with you is going to be irreversible.
Right?
Secondly, I hope your paper-holding carriage is sturdy. and when I get you home, I'm going to ream you. Finally. When we get together, your friends are going to be calling the cops to report domestic violence constantly. Because I know every time I finger you, it's going to leave a mark.
That was pickup lines. I think we'll keep her. I think we'll keep. Which brings us to the last segment of the first show. Yeah. Thank you. We're going to end this this specific show with location, location, location. This category, you've all been given businesses to start in shitty locations. Please make us want to come to them. Lindy West, you're a door-to-door spittoon saleswoman in a town where the population is afflicted with perpetual dry mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Spittoon saleswoman.
Yes.
In a town...
Man.
Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry
okay.
for so many.
Hey minutes. There, you all in need of a metal earthenware pot with a funnel-shaped top? What does it do? You spit in it after all your loogies and chew right in the pot. Oh, you all got dry mouth. Well, all the more reason to start your chew and drink some more liquids. Why, you can use it as a giant mug. And once you get your salivary glands going again, boom, spittoon. Maybe you need a Peter pot while I have those in my other wagon, but today you all need a spittoon. You have excessive dry mouth. Okay, I see. Well, you still need a spittoon to catch all that verbal vomit spewing out of your mouth right now. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Spittoons!
Very good. A door-to-door sales spittoon sales.
Very good.
Ellis. You sell, actually, Ellis and I used to sell toilets to people in real life.
Yeah, we did.
In real life.
In a whole other life.
Yep.
A thousand years ago.
We almost got in a fight once.
A couple times. Not over toilets.
At work, though. Okay.
Thanks for making it weird.
He slept with my ex-wife. No, I'm kidding. That's not true.
Only twice.
I don't know. All right. Ellis. You sell toilets to people that were born without genitals or buttholes. Make the sale.
Good evening, sharks. I'm Ellis. My company's called Number 4. Now, I'm here today seeking $26 million for 2% equity in my company. It's recently come to my attention that not everyone has genitalia. Instead of pointing and laughing and hating all that is different from me, as is my American right... I instead saw an opportunity. Actually, I pointed and laughed and said, "Where's your bulbous?" And then it occurred to me, how do you get sweet tea and corn out of your body? It occurred to me, maybe I could make a little money. Now, number one, some people don't have a pot to piss in. As a society, we have fallen behind in the area of scatological studies, okay? We have to accept that we aren't all just innies and outies, all right? Turns out the Teletubbies aren't the only things to piss out of their foreheads. Number two, and this is kind of shitty, but the old adage that everyone has an opinion and an asshole is only half true. Yeah, everybody has an opinion, and a lot of people are assholes, but not everyone has one. In fact, according to a recent 100% true, irrefutable, quadruple-blind scientific study on Facebook, over 65% of women and 12% of men don't even have assholes. Number three, when you gotta go, you gotta go. What goes in must come out. Now, even though these weirdos don't have genitalia, right, they still gotta build those cabins, right? And I've done some research, and they do loaf, all right? Now, I'll spare you the details. You can do a little research on yourself by watching a video called One Girl, Three and a Half Cups, all right? Which takes us to number four, the number four toilet. Because no matter how or where, what the fuck is wrong with your orifice? If it's full of shit, piss, or vinegar, I got a bowl for you. Now, I don't have a working prototype, which is why I need the funding. Most of the research just, this point, just been me watching Japanese poop videos with one hand. You know what I mean? But you better hurry up and get in on this investment now, because this idea is the shit, all right? You smell that? That could be you.
Very good. Ellis Rodriguez, selling toilets to people that were born without genitals or buttholes. Jesse Jones. in the show with you're selling your rap demo tape to five of your mom's friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. At him.
World star.
Well, I'm Gloria's son, and I'm here to say, I'd like to sell you my new CD today. It's got songs about bitches and money and fame. And when I say bitches, I mean a dame with loose moral fabric, no sense of shame, like certain parties here whom I refuse to name. If what I've overheard mom say can be trusted, y'all two-faced hussies are loose and busted. Getting boss's office lunch hour break room thrusted. Then you're back at your desk all sperm encrusted. And when the clock strikes five, you're at it again, cruising all the dive bars looking for men. Text your husband, let him know you'll be home by 10, on your knees in the park with your brand new friend. That's probably why you got your kids taken away by the C to the P to the S that day. And all the gossipy bitches sitting around you say that your well-groomed husband is secretly gay. But that's none of my business. That's plain to see. What's important here is that you buy my new CD. It's a perfect gift for everyone underneath your tree. Buy one for $10 or $20 gets three.
Very good. That was Stab. One more time for this group of people. Lenny West, Rodriguez, and Chelsea Jones. All right, guys, if you'd like to hear more Stabs, please go to one of our many online outlets. You can go to SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, or iTunes. Subscribe to us, review us if you want. We'll be right back with our next episode. All right.